Hey, what's up? This is Chris Gray, and you're listening to the ZFM Sport Podcast.
Nice, Messi! It is the cleanest of clean finishes from the best on the planet.
It's time for the biggest sports stories.
Chelsea, the UEFA Champions League winners of 2021.
The biggest interviews.
That such a great spectacle is ruined by such thuggish behaviour.
And all the analysis right here.
He's the one player that has the arrogance to think that he can play in any stadium in the world and any pitch in the world in front of any player in the world and take them on.
Every weekday, it's my sport, it's your sport. It's ZFM Sport. Let's join the team for the biggest show in the world of sport on ZFM Stereo. My station, your station.
It's Wednesday evening, a wacky Wednesday. Good evening and welcome to ZFM Sport on your favourite station, ZFM Stereo, my station, your station. Your favourite team of pundits is in studio, led by our producer, Sean Tafirinyika. My name is Mike Madoda, and joining me is Barry Manandi. What a power-packed edition of the sports show you can expect today. Trending over the last 24 hours has been the withdrawal of Secunda Holdings from its commitment to renovate the iconic Rufaro Stadium, dubbed the ceremonial home of Zimbabwe football. They had pledged to make it meet international standards, and of course their withdrawal comes after they cited a lack of cooperation from Harare City Council. It has set chins wagging, and there's been a lot of chatter and natter on social media. And this evening, on tonight's show, we try and break it down for you, give you all the facts, the permutations, and what the implications of what that withdrawal are. We also have international sports news for you, where we take you around the world in 60 with updates from Italy, New Zealand, as well as the Ukraine.
In the beautiful game, we turn our attention to Groups E and F in our continuing build-up to the FIFA World Cup in Qatar. Group F has two accomplished European powers in Spain and Germany to make this a top-heavy group, although Japan and Costa Rica won't be pushovers in the least. In Group F, it sees two of the final four teams from the 2018 World Cup, which are Belgium and Croatia, drawn alongside AFCON quarterfinalist Morocco and a nation making its first appearance since 1986 in Canada.
The home front. Local sports news and analysis.
Let's start with golf on our local sports news roundup. Now, seasoned Zimbabwean professional golfer Ryan Cairns took advantage of benign scoring conditions to grab a two-shot lead over Never Milazi, Bradley Kulashi, and Robson Sawerombe after yesterday's opening round of the Zimbabwe PGA Championship. The 38-year-old winner on the Sunshine Tour was in brilliant form, carding a 4-under par 68 at his home course, Royal Harare Golf Club, which was yet again in pristine condition. And rugby news, Zimbabwe rugby sevens team team coach Graham Colbacker says his team will be out to impress on home soil when they line up against other international teams in the second edition of the Zambezi Challenge at the Harare Sports Club this weekend. The Cheetahs are desperate to do well in the second edition of their home tournament after a disappointing campaign during the inaugural event in April. The Castellaga Premier Soccer League Giants, which is football, and this is where we wrap up. The Giants at Dynamos have ended speculation about their head coach Tundirai Ndiraya's future, saying they severed ties with him. Ndiraya's contract expires at the end of the year, and the club has decided against renewing it. Dynamos very busy last night, Michael, also getting rid of chairman, well, at least he resigned, is Isaiah Mufurutsa, and they say they're not renewing Tundirai Ndiraya's contract when it ends in December. Decision made.
Yeah, a decision has been made, and Isaiah Mufurutsa has fallen on his sword. Yeah. Whether he was for the decision or against, we'll never know. He's yet to speak out. So it looks like there's a bit of blood on the streets as far as Dynamos is concerned. And I think we'll be hearing more and seeing a lot of movement from Dynamos, especially over the next 8 or so weeks.
We certainly will. That's your local sports news roundup. We're talking Rufaro Stadium and Secunda.
The Warriors, the Chevrons, the Cheetahs, the Mighty Warriors, and the Sables. From the pool to the track to the field, we are Team Zimbabwe.
We are Team Zimbabwe, and you are very much a part of our team. Get in touch with us with your thoughts, your views on the story that we are carrying this evening and the many other stories that we are going to be giving to you. That WhatsApp platform, 0731-168-045. We're also on Twitter and Facebook, where you can follow and interact with at ZFM Sport. Now, energy giant Secunda Holdings has withdrawn its commitment to renovate the iconic Rufaro Stadium to meet international standards, citing toxicity and a lack of cooperation from Harare City Council. Back in February, Council accepted a proposal by the energy giant for a long-term lease which would have seen Rufaro Stadium refurbished into a world-class facility. But Harare City Council says the energy giant was seeking a parasitic deal.
I have no idea what Secunda is saying. What I understand is that they wanted to get the stadium for 30 years for providing plastic chairs. And when we were in the middle of negotiating, that surely a whole stadium cannot go just after someone donates plastic chairs. They then went into a tantrum and threw the baby and the bathwater. What is clear to us is that business people for long had a parasitic relationship with the city of Harare. People come into Harare with nothing. Harare makes them millionaires, and when they want to be assisted, they then say, when Harare needs assistance, they then say, give us land and give us that. Years ago, some of these business people took huge tracts of land from Harare after donating bicycles, motorbikes, and some sort of machinery, and went on to claim huge pieces of land from the city. We cannot keep repeating what used to happen in the yesteryears. If you want to assist the city as a corporate, fine. But if you want to take from the city after assisting it, then surely we should discuss whatever assistance that you need to provide in direct and clear terms. We have not put Rufaro Stadium for sale, and therefore anyone who wants to assist, who wants naming rights to the stadium, must enter into a contract of naming rights that is recognizable, like the ones we see everywhere in the world, not these ones where we end up losing the whole stadium simply because we asked someone to provide plastic chairs and to assist us.
Harare Mayor Jacob Mafume speaking to the media there over this story that is currently unfolding. The details, I think, for a lot of people who are not in the know, remain sketchy. Yeah. So we have to go back in order to move forward. And I guess the logical starting place would be for us to really hold the mayor's feet to the fire, council's feet to the fire, and Secunda to the test. We have to go back to the background of this agreement and the background of Rufaro Stadium, the state it was in, the condition it was in, and the MOU, the memorandum of understanding that was signed between the two parties.
And that's the key founding document, isn't it? It's the MOU, because I think that there's been a lot of talk, inclusive of that audio bit that you just played from the mayor and in ergo council, which speaks about plastic seats and all sorts. The MOU didn't go that far, and you and I have sort of tried to study the document to have a look at what the story was. Number one, it was silent on any sort of tenure that was being sought by Secunda. It spoke about a feasibility study that would be conducted by Secunda to see whether Secunda could go in, refurbish the stadium, but also refurbish and give a facelift to all the environs around Rufaro Stadium. In other words, this was going to be a facelift for the entire precinct around Rufaro Stadium, and that was definitely referred to in the MOU, which was then going to be followed by a memorandum of agreement, an MOA, which would then state the tenure of the agreement, etc., etc., etc. So the MOU was merely about the feasibility study and walking towards getting to the place whereby they could then present to the council, this is what we want to do, can we do it?
And we were here, of course, a council speaking very, I think there's a certain level of playing to the gallery.
Yep.
There is an element of, you know what, saying things that obviously are going to, you know, amuse and entertain people on social media. But when you take a look, Barry, and you get into the nuts and the bolts of the MOU and what the intent was around Rufaro Stadium, you can't help but get the sense that, you know what, this may well turn out to be a big missed opportunity for Zimbabwe sport, because this was more than just about Rufaro Stadium and Dynamo's football club. This was about the upgrading of a facility that was going to benefit Zimbabwe sport.
Absolutely, and you know what, many of us, those who are interested, have seen images and videos of the 3D impression of what Rufaro Stadium,
the regeneration project,
exactly what the regeneration project was going to look like. And I am saddened by the fact that we missed this opportunity. It wasn't just a case of, and it's easy for us to say, they were just going to put bucket seats. No, it did not look like bucket seats to me. It looked like Rufaro Stadium was going to become a world-class facility that could be used by other sports as well, apart from just football. But ultimately, football was going to benefit.
And Barry, just from the research that we have done, I think, you know, when people talk about, plastic seats in Rufaro Stadium, we have it in good authority that, you know what, over $2 million had been been spent in just doing the feasibility study around what was possible at Rufaro Stadium, the planning, the architectural work, and all that background work that had been done. If someone is able to spend $2 million, Barry, they're not doing a Mickey Mouse project.
They're serious. And that project is about uplifting the community around it. And listen, while focusing on sport alone, just think about the fact that, and again, like the MOU said, this was under the corporate social responsibility gambit of Secunda. So when you see that highlighted, you then think to yourself, okay, this was clearly a project that was going to be handed over either to the community or to Dynamo's football club or to another football club or to the Azifa as a whole. So this was going to be for the good of sport in general, and in truth, the missed opportunity almost brings one to tears in that Rufaro was going to get a serious uplift.
Let's take our conversation, because you know what, sometimes if we narrow our conversations and just be local, I think people sometimes may fail to see the wood for the trees, because we are such a polarized community, so we tend to label people. We'll label Sean and say Sean is ZANU-PF, and we'll label Barry and say Barry's triple C, and we'll say that Mike Arumanyana na Douglas Monzo, you know, type of thing, and then consequently everything then that we discuss or the way that we see it is really colored by those glasses, because
those
we are
lenses,
so polarized thing. And if you take a look at the situation, so let's go to the United Kingdom. We all watch the Premier League, and we all know the famous stadiums that we have, your Old Trafford's, home of Manchester United, Anfield, the home of Liverpool, Highbury used to be the home of Arsenal, very famous old stadium, Elland Road, the home of Leeds United, and you could rattle off a number of stadia within the United Kingdom and Scotland. And even if you go into Spain, you go into Italy, the San Siro, the Giuseppe Meazza Stadium, which is home to the two Milan sides, Inter and AC Milan. The model there, Barry, has been that the councils in those cities have seen the benefit of partnering with private enterprises to develop the facilities and given those enterprises long-term leases in order for them not just to use the facilities but to regenerate the communes in which they are located. So when we talk about Liverpool right now and who are currently constructing the one stand at Liverpool and have done a reconstruction of the main stand and redeveloped the stadium. It hasn't just been the stadium. They've also redeveloped the area around Anfield and the area around Stanley Park where it's located.
For sure. And this was going to be no different because it was also going to uplift the like we said, the entire precinct was going to get a facelift, all the flats and all the areas around it also. I understand that the road network, I think it was in the MOU, was also going to get an uplift. So yeah, that exact model.
Under normal circumstances, Rufaro is just a nightmare to get to, isn't it?
Even, listen, we played a cup final there, Golden Eagles against Simba Bora, and it was tough just to get to the stadium. And
so
ultimately
pointless building this world-class facility that no one can get to.
No one can access. It'll be mad. So everything around there was going to get an uplift as a result of what was happening with Rufaro Stadium. And then don't forget that we don't have a homologated stadium for CAF competition. That's for clubs. So, for instance, just as an example to dramatize it, FC Platinum playing in the Champions League, if that were to happen, they could actually play at Rufaro Stadium.
The Mighty Warriors.
The Mighty Warriors. The Warriors.
The Young Warriors. Junior teams.
Everything. So it was going to be... Don't forget, rugby as well could use that facility for matches against the Blue Bulls or whatever the case may be. So this was a holistic project that isn't alien to global best practice. Remember the case of West Ham and the City of London Stadium.
Right, let's get into the messages that are coming in. You don't tell us who you are. You say, at what cost, guys? It's okay to talk about what Secunda wants to do, but what is in it for them? We're not getting it from this discussion.
What's in it for Secunda? As far as we understand, this was part of... In fact, the MOU states that this was part of the sponsorship of Dynamo's Football Club. Dynamo's actually initiated the conversation with the city council. And so as a result, Secunda was coming as sponsor and almost underwriter of the project that Dynamo's had proposed. Then Secunda ran on ahead and opted to then pour in funds into this project. The outcome of it hadn't even been discussed because that was supposed to be contained in the memorandum of agreement. So at this stage, we don't even know what Secunda wanted out of it.
And of course, I think it's important to stress the fact that it was a Dynamo's project.
Yes.
So it was not Secunda that initially proposed. This was an idea that was on the table.
Yeah.
And Secunda, as club sponsor, saw the benefit for Dynamo's and the benefit for Zimbabwe Sport. And I think, you know what, it's inevitable, Barry, that we have to wade into political waters as far as this case is concerned. And that is, I think, where people begin to miss each other. And that is where we begin to miss the wood for the trees, because we are not looking at the merits and the demerits of the case alone. We're also taking a look at who is it that is proposing.
Yeah, and also, even when someone is proposing, let's say, find the MOU, feasibility, blah, blah, blah. At memorandum of agreement stage was the opportunity for the city council. You've got a relic that's sitting there that's not giving you any value. In fact, it is just dilapidating. You've got somebody who wants to develop it for you. Get your best minds into the room and then negotiate hard with that particular... As far as I hear, there's no negotiation, there's no talk, there's no chatter happening between the two parties to try and find each other and get a deal that is win-win. So let's say, for instance, if Secunda had suggested, okay, we want 30 years. If the city council felt that 30 years was too long, then negotiate for 20. Don't kill the whole deal and then break down the opportunity for the community around Rufaro Stadium on the back of the fact that you disagree with 30 years. Let's say if that was the case.
And they had started so well because I think there were actual teams from Secunda as well as council
yes,
that had actually sort of like toured South Africa. I think they had gone to take a look at the venues that were used for the 2010 World Cup, you know, Soccer City, I think popularly known as the FNB Stadium in Soweto, Johannesburg. I think they'd gone to Moses Mabhida in Durban and other, of course, stadiums that were used in that World Cup just to get a sense
familiarization,
of a familiarization tour, of get a sense of what it takes to build facilities like that and what it entails. Okay, so they look to be walking this journey together at some point until it there was a down. Misunderstanding, until communication broke down.
100%. In truth, my prayer is that they can find each other, especially after seeing those artist impressions of what Rufaro Stadium and the environs were going to look like. I certainly hope that they can still find each other and still persist with this project, because I think it's going to be good for the entire community.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, we want to hear from you because you are that community. Get in touch with us with your thoughts and your views. Lots of messages are coming through during the fan zone. We're going to try and read as many of them as we can. 0731 168 045. That's 0731 168 045. We are asking about Rufaro Stadium, Secunda, as well as, of course, Harare City Council. There seems to be a bit of an impasse. There seems to be a breakdown in communication. The Secunda deal, was it good for Zimbabwe football? Was it good for Dynamos? Was it good for the community? Or does the Harare City Council have every right to say, you know what, hang on, we're going to press pause on this project because we don't have the information that we need and we need to get further clarity around the deal? Get in touch with us with your views. 0731 168 045. Twitter and Facebook at ZFM Sport. We've already given you a local sports news roundup. Now it's time to take you international with a trip around the world in 60.
Hi, my name's Ryan Cairns, Sunshine Tour professional golfer, and you're listening to ZFM Sport.
Around the world in 60 seconds. International sports news.
All right, we start in Italy, where Rafael Nadal says he is going to die trying to return to the level of tennis that saw him capture a record 22 Grand Slam singles titles after his hopes of a first ever ATP finals title and becoming year-end world number one were extinguished last night. Nadal fell 6-3, 6-4 to Canada's Felix Auger-Aliassime in Turin to follow up on defeat by Taylor Fritz on Sunday. In New Zealand, Hardik Pandya has asked his teammates to make the most of the limited overs series against New Zealand to cement their position in the side with two World Cups looming in the next 2 years. India rested regular skipper Rohit Sharma, a stalwart Virat Kohli and opener KL Rahul for the New Zealand tour following a 10-wicket shellacking by England in the semi-finals of the T20 World Cup in Australia. All right, we'll land in Ukraine. Boxing promoter Alexander Krasiak says Alexander Usyk's mandatory commitment with IBF challenger Philip Hergovich will have no bearing on a bout against Britain's Tyson Fury to unify the world heavyweight titles. Usyk retained his WBA, WBO, IBF and IBO heavyweight titles after a second consecutive win over Anthony Joshua in August and wants to add Fury's WBC crown to his collection early next year.
Fan Zone. Get in touch with the team and have your say your way.
Operator.
This is your time to shine on ZFM Sports. 0731 168 045. Tabani's come in. Barry says, Anzi, the Shakira benchmark, Anzi, do you good kwaza?
Yes, because Shakira,
what are the criticism though, Barry, that, you know what, that was a World Cup that was being played in Africa and we went to get a South American to do the official World Cup song for the World Cup that was played in Africa, as if Africa has got no artists.
She did a cracking job, though.
No. What are your thoughts around that, though?
Mate.
Because for me, it was a slight on the honor of African musicians.
It was. It burnt. It was a gut punch, that's for sure. The thing is that Ia Shakira didn't...
Eli, Lama Sabata.
You wanna go and resurrect Chimora?
I'll go resurrect the Chimora, Barry. I might even have had, what's his name? Your fella.
Freddy Gwala.
No, not Freddy
Gwala. Chico Freddy Gwala.
What's his name? Zodanizi. No. No. What's a big fat fella with a belly? What's his name? And a drop, locks tied to the
penny
top.
Penny.
That would have been something.
You'd have had Penny on there as well.
I'd have Penny give us a number.
No, Shakira did a cracking job.
You
really? She did a cracking job.
Oh.
And also sampled one of the classic African tracks by that Cameroonian group.
Right. Anzi, Dimbari yangu fanana ne Chelsea, apana chinobuda akudzinga board. What are your thoughts, Barry, on the carnage at Dynamos right now?
Again, I think those are factional fights, political fights. It's no surprise that we had the suspension of Tundra Ndiraya mid-season. There was news and murmuring about Isaiah Mfulutsa fighting in his corner and getting him back on the job. Now he's fired. Isaiah Mfulutsa falls on his sword. I think the two events are linked. So I think these are factional fights. Let's see when the dust settles who's standing.
Right, SJ's got in touch and he says after the Pomona deal, Harare City Council is under immense pressure to enter agreements that are sustainable and mutually beneficial. In that view, it's unfair for anyone to railroad council into accepting anything without proper due diligence. And that is the hope, Barry, that they can still find each other. It's still get into negotiations.
Yeah.
Negotiate hard if they need to.
Yeah.
But surely this level of investment coming into sport, coming into a stadium and a facility and into a whole precinct, surely we can't lose it.
No, we can't lose it. And we haven't seen this sort of investment come into sport at any level. So for it to come towards sport, I think it would have been, it would behove council for them to try and find a way to get this done. And then let's also take note that they hadn't even got to agreement stage. So there was no agreement in place. There's a memorandum of understanding for which all the parties fulfilled their obligations. They were heading towards agreement. Now.
Well, Barry, someone has weighed in on Twitter regards that MOU, and they are actually saying, and this is Regis Chawatama. Good evening, Reg. You say we must not read too much into the MOU because it's not legally binding.
No,
it's
exactly.
About the final terms in the MOA that is key, and my suspicion is that positions may have shifted, making one of the parties uncomfortable. So there we go.
Yeah. And that's what we're trying to stress, that they hadn't got to agreement stage. The MOU was for us. It's Mike and Barry coming together and saying, Mike, let's pursue the opportunity to rebuild Rufaro. And then we decide, okay, to rebuild Rufaro, we need to go and visit South Africa. We need to hire engineers. We need to hire architects. And we do all of that. And then we come up with a final document and say, this is the final document of what it will look like. Are we in agreement to pursue this? Then we sign the agreement. The agreement hadn't even been signed. The terms hadn't even been discussed.
It's the Kurdish rebel, Padiz. This message reads, he says, hi guys, I think politics got the better of sport on this Rufaro Stadium issue. And that's unfortunate.
Agreed, and it's very unfortunate because then sport is the one that misses out on this golden opportunity to uplift the level of sport in the country.
A city of Harare could have put this to the residents to decide. No normal resident could have disapproved this project. Now that this deal is up in flames, what next for Rufaro? Do they have alternative deals on the table? And of course, on a different radio station, the mayor was talking about they are still going to renovate Rufaro Stadium, but at what level?
Yeah, that is the question, because if the mayor is coming through and saying that council's position is that they're not going to enter into agreement for the provision of plastic chairs, that's all they're seeing. They're seeing plastic chairs being the only thing that are required, or bucket seats are the only things that are required at Rufaro Stadium. So I suspect that any uplift that Rufaro is going to get is going to be bucket seats.
Hey guys, can't Secunda build their own stadium instead?
I think they can. And that's a very good, fair and good suggestion. Wonder where, because most land in Harare belongs to the council.
Right, of course, Anzi, bring the two parties to the studio and let's have an informed discussion. And that's something that we're going to endeavor to do.
We're going to invite
both parties so that they can come and speak on the issue.
Yeah.
And then we can hold their feet to the fire and get the answers that a lot of you are asking for. Keep your message coming in, 0731-168-045. That is the number. Twitter and Facebook at ZFM Sport. And guys, this year's World Cup theme songs, they could have done better even with Kanindo's song. This is coming from Sangsi.
a Kanindo track. My goodness, that would have been something.
Davidson Shuva in Mutoka, he says, I like that song. song so much.
Yeah.
He enjoyed
C'est la vie. Exactly, 100%. We're enjoying it as well. We think that's a better one of the two that we've played so far. We'll keep playing them until the World Cup kicks off and even as the World Cup is being played.
Right, Hansi, if you separate the Rivaro Stadium debacle from politics, then you are naive and all your arguments are empty.
Fair enough.
You reckon
that's
that
why we have
the very heart of it is politics.
And that's why we haven't separated it from politics, because sadly it's an opportunity missed. But it's just politics at play, we believe.
Right, okay. Let's get into our World Cup preview, where we are talking, of course, of the two groups that feature two heavyweights apiece. The likes of Spain, La Furia Roja, Die Mannschaft, Germany are in the mix. And of course, we'll be taking a look at two teams that finished the last edition of the FIFA World Cup in the Final Four. And that is the Red Devils, not Manchester United, but Belgium, as well as Croatia.
Your hit music station. My station. Your station. It's everybody's station. ZFM Stereo. The big leagues. The big teams. The big players. The beautiful game on ZFM Sport. Jogo Bonito. Tiki-taka. Total Football. It's a football celebration where only the best are invited. Messi, Ronaldo, Neymar, Benzema. The stars come out to play on your Qatar 2022 World Cup update on ZFM Sport.
All right, let's start with Group E, which consists of Japan, Germany, Costa Rica, and, of course, as Mike has been pointing out, La Furia Roja, Spain. Now, they have renewed belief after two World Cup cycles served up more than their fair share of frustration, controversy, and disappointment, as Luis Enrique has got Spain back on track as they bid to bring back the glory years of 2008 to 2012. Though many are resisting the urge to bracket them among the main contenders, La Furia Roja are intent on lifting the trophy again and have some very good reasons for setting their objectives so high. Chief among those reasons is a bright young talent called Pedri.
All right, let's go to Costa Rica, who were surprise quarterfinalists at Brazil 2014 and present at Russia 2018. But Costa Rica looked down and out in the final stage of CONCACAF qualifying for Qatar. After finishing fourth in qualifying, Costa Rica booked a ticket to its third straight World Cup by defeating New Zealand in the Intercontinental playoff. Los Ticos, as they are called, arrive having lost only one match in 11 games in the year 2022. Their key player is the man in goal, Keylor Navas.
Now let's talk about Germany now heading into Qatar with the same high expectations they have every time they take the pitch. Although 2022 will be slightly different for the Germans this go round. The Germans feel they need to atone for their disappointing cycle in their last two major international tournaments. They finished at the bottom of their group in Russia 2018 and also failed to advance out of their group in the UEFA Nations League, suffering a 6-0 loss to Spain, the country's worst defeat since 1931. They have reason to be positive, and that reason is that they've got a great young talent coming through, their key player, Jamal Musiala.
Right, let's wrap it up with a look at Japan, that have made steady progress as one of Asia's footballing powerhouses in recent years, and they will be hoping to hit new heights in Qatar. Yet fan optimism surrounding the team's seamless qualification was somewhat dampened when the Samurai Blue landed in a very difficult group in the draw. Japan's main aim will be to get to the quarterfinals for the first time in their history. And the key player for them is former Liverpool player Takumi Minamino.
And Mike, I think fair enough to say that it's likely Spain and Germany will come out of this group. Spain have been playing some good stuff.
Yeah, Spain have been playing some good stuff, but I think the only questions around Spain will be the number nine position, the central striking position, where they have struggled for someone who will consistently score goals. You go back to their teams and squads that dominated Europe and the world. That was, of course, a decade ago, where they won the Euro 2008 tournament, won the World Cup in the year 2010 in South Africa, and then defending their Euro crown as well, winning it it in the year 2012 when they thumped Italy in that final. What they had, Barry, was a sure supply of goals. David Villa in the central striking position. Fernando Torres. That was the ilk of striker that led the line for Brazil. And of course, there was the creativity of Busquets, of Xavi Hernandez, of Xavi Alonso, as well as Iniesta. So they had creativity, they had goals. This particular Spain side, La Furia Roja, they don't burn as hot as far as the goals are concerned. So they've got the likes of Alvaro Morata. When he's good, but when he's bad, he's awful. They've got the likes of Dani Olmo. Yes, can chip in with goals, but is he the type of attacker that you can lean on to score in every game of a tournament?
Yeah.
Because that's what you need to win
that's
a World
what you
Cup
need.
Tournament.
Exactly. Yeah,
to get through the group stages and get through the knockout stages, you need a reliable goal scorer in the number nine position. And Spain, when you take a look at the options, they don't have the best in the world at the moment.
So it's going to be a question of what decisions are made out of the dugout. And in that dugout, they go Luis Enrique. We know what of his work at Barcelona. Of course, having come through at Roma and Celta Vigo, done very well at those club sides. This is, however, his first World Cup as a coach.
Let's not forget he won the treble with Barca.
Fair enough.
World Cup
is a different grade, you know.
It's
your thoughts
gravy,
on that?
But we've seen Spain in European qualification. We've seen Spain in the Nations League. I thought in the games versus Portugal, and Portugal is not exactly the best side in the world, but they dominated the Portugal side for large phases of the game. So if you're able to look distinctly better than a side that, like Portugal, that means you do have a chance of making it in this tournament. You do have a chance of making a big impression. But I'll always go back, Barry, to goals win tournaments.
Yes.
It'll be the sides that can get a regular goal scorer going that are likely to make an impression. And people will carry on talking about, for example, we'll talk about England. And people will say, oh, England are not the greatest team and they don't have talent. But if Harry Kane is firing,
if he fires,
and
Harry
Kane is scoring goals, England will have a chance of winning matches,
sure.
Even matches where they're outclassed. So for me, Barry, Spain have got to fix the goal scoring problem. They will dominate possession, they will build up play very nice, they will transition in the typical Spanish way, but whether they can get the goals that they deserve for their dominance and their play is another thing altogether. The interesting thing, Barry, that the goals conundrum is the same thing that's facing Germany.
Germany, exactly. Germany has the same challenge, and they wish they could have naturalized Robert Lewandowski if they had the foresight to do so. Because right now, Hansi Flick is struggling for goals. We know Hansi Flick's sides score goals. But they scored goals on the back of Robert Lewandowski leading the line at Bayern Munich. Now they don't have that. And they now have to rely more on their wingers than they do their number nine.
Well, Barry, they've got Timo Werner. He's out of the tournament.
Yep.
I think he's one that they could have looked to. He's direct. And perhaps with the creativity of Musiala, who you've already talked up as one to watch.
Kai Havertz.
I think Muller is there. Kai Havertz, yes, will give you the odd goal. He'll create now and again. But he's not the type of player I'll be looking to get the 6-7 goals that can win you a tournament.
Yes, yes.
I don't think he's that. So it's a tragedy, because you go back classically, German football has always produced some of the greatest strikers that we have ever known. You go back to the likes of Rudi Völler, Jürgen Klinsmann,
Gerd Müller,
De Bommel, those guys. And even in recent years, the likes of Miroslav Klose, the likes of Oliver Bierhoff. They used to have an unending supply of gunmen. Guys who could play up front. Mario Gomez as well, naturalized. They could score goals. You take a look at this German side and you think, you know what? Where is that striker, that central striker that can occupy the center backs, that can trouble the defenders, that can create a goal out of nothing, Barry?
Is it not a function and almost a legacy issues related to the former coach, Yogi Love? We know Joachim Love loved playing with a false nine. He didn't mind about having an out-and-out striker, and it worked for him. You saw him use even Miroslav Klose as a bit part player when he worked with him.
But then it would be a function of selection, wouldn't it? But even if you go back to the Bundesliga, where is that number nine?
Yeah,
where
exactly.
Where is he? Where is he playing?
That illustrates my point, that Yogi Love was so committed to playing a false nine that it even affected the Bundesliga, whereby German sides weren't concerned about breeding strikers, breeding number nines. They said they're never going to make a break into the national team because Yogi Love doesn't use them. So consequently, I think they've got themselves some pretty vicious legacy issues. Very briefly, Mike, I want to hear your thoughts on Japan. They are always good for a surprise.
Yeah, they're good for a surprise. So I think both Germany as well as Spain, they'll be eyeing this. This is a game where they can't afford to let standards slip. Because you drop points in this game, you don't know what Japan is able to do versus Costa Rica. You need to make sure that you beat Japan and beat Costa Rica so that at a bare minimum, you're finishing second in the group.
For sure, and you're coming out.
In a group where you have two powerhouses like that, I don't think it's anything to be sniffed at to finish second.
Yeah.
I think the objective is to get out of the group. So Japan could be the spoilers.
They could be the spoilers, but we still maintain out of Group E, likely it's going to be Germany and Spain that come out of there. Let's talk about Group F now, and let's see what's contained in there.
Your Qatar World Cup wow moment.
That's going to be a feature that we'll have throughout the tournament. We'll have a World Cup wow moment. So when you're watching the games, when you're watching the tournament, make sure that you record and write down what you think is your wow moment for that particular week. And usually around about Thursday, sometimes Friday, we'll have a World Cup wow moment and we want to hear yours. We'll give you ours, but it's not necessarily gospel. So look out for that feature when the World Cup begins. Mike, we're talking about Group F, where we find the likes of Croatia, Morocco, Canada, and of course the Red Devils you referred to, Belgium. Now they've hit new heights since Roberto Martinez took up the reins in August 2016 and harbour high hopes ahead of the World Cup. The historic third place showing at the 2018 World Cup in Russia has only served to further whet Belgian appetites. And indeed, they love their chocolate, that's for sure. And the Europeans have clear designs on lifting their maiden World Cup crown on Arabs. Mike, who would you say is the key man for the Red Devils?
It has to be Kevin De Bruyne. I mean, a phenomenal player. We see him week in, week out. If you follow the English Premier League, he's a wonderful, wonderful player. And I think their hopes will once again hinge on his exploits, whether he's able to create as well as score goals. Now, let's take a look at Canada. They're making their second ever World Cup Finals appearance, following their first in 1986 in Mexico. And they are back on the biggest stage of them all, and won't just be looking to make up the numbers in Group F as they go in search of creating more history. Reaching the semi-finals of the CONCACAF Gold Cup last year was an achievement in itself, but qualifying for the World Cup after finishing top of North American qualifying section ahead of the United States, Mexico, as well as Costa Rica, shows Canada should not be underestimated just yet. A key player for them is Bayern Munich wingback Alphonso Davies.
Now, part of the African charge is Morocco. They're in Group F as well. Now, they're gearing up for what will be their sixth World Cup with the appointment of Walid Regragui as the Atlas Lions' new coach less than 3 months before the start of the tournament. A lot of questions remain unanswered. It would be amiss, however, not to mention the efforts of his predecessor, Vahid Halihodzic, who guided the Atlas Lions to Qatar with the best qualifying record of any African team. Their key player, Ashraf Hakimi.
And now let's take a look at the finalists from the previous edition, beaten by France in that final in Russia. And we are talking about Croatia. They, of course, has a generation of talented players who are primed for battle and intent on matching their superb showing in Russia, albeit with a different outcome this time round. After making it all the way through to the final 4 years ago, Zlatko Dalic's side will be keen to achieve something special on Arab soil. A key man for them will be Real Madrid midfield maestro Luka Modric.
And Golden Boot winner. Ballon d'Or winner.
Certainly not a Golden Boot winner.
Ballon d'Or winner. Put some respect on his name, Michael. Ballon d'Or winner. Belgium looks balanced, looks strong, looks a good fit for going all the way even to lift the trophy. So I'm going to ask you, where's the weakness?
No, Barry, Belgium, I think we always say that about them. We've said that about them for the last three or four tournaments.
Agreed.
And they give me Dutch vibes. And I'll explain what I mean. Because... you go back to sort of like your 90s and your 2000s,
yep.
The Dutch always went into every tournament, whether it was a World Cup,
strong.
Whether it was a Euro, they were always strong. They had phenomenal players, Clarence Seedorf, Edgar Davids,
the likes of
Rijkaard, Gullit,
etc. Van Basten,
but they failed to get over the line as far as tournaments were concerned. Yes. They either lost out in the semi-finals, they lost out in the quarter-finals, they lost out in finals even,
yeah.
because they just lacked that winning mentality, Barry, that sometimes you need to complement your talent. And that's what I see with Belgium. Who are your fighters?
In that
Belgium side, when the chips are down and you need to grit it out.
Yeah.
When you're facing opposition that you are better than but are scrapping harder than you and better than you, who are the fighters?
There was what's his name? The big hair guy.
Alex Witzel.
Yes,
but
Alex Witzel.
He's won.
He can't do it alone. And even now, he's almost being used sparingly. He's not a certain fighter.
Let's be fair. He's in the twilight of his career.
He is.
If you see his performance output right now, I think it's petered off.
It has.
He's at Atletico Madrid. He was let go by Borussia Dortmund.
Yeah.
I think Diego Simeone has tried playing him in a back three, to almost play him as a sweeper, etc. Mm. He no longer has the legs, you know, the pace that's needed for you, especially if you play as a holding midfielder, to be able to provide cover for your fullbacks and for your centre-backs. And so that's a worry. A lot of these players in this golden generation for Belgium, they're in the last chance alone.
Yeah, they are. And what you're implying, therefore, is you can't win a World Cup or win any tournament, in fact, without any fighters. And you need those that are going to be able to scrap.
If I'm betting, Barry, I'm not putting money on Belgium, to be fair. I like them. I think they'll make an impression.
Mm-hmm.
They might get far in the tournament, semi-finals even.
Mm-hmm.
But to see them going all the way to hoisting the trophy above their heads, I can't see it.
What about Croatia? Croatia has always surprised, getting to a final. They seem like they're the business.
They seem like they're the business, but again, it'll have to be teamwork. And that's what we saw 4 years ago in Russia.
Yeah.
It was not really about standout players. Yes, Luka Modric then got all the plaudits. And I think as a result of the profile of the team he plays for and his profile as a player, he was the well-known player from Croatia.
I thought Ivan Perisic had probably the best tournament. Huh?
Yeah, absolutely. So for me, they're going to have to play as a team in order to get far. But ultimately, when I take a look at the other sides in the tournament, your Brazils, your Argentinas, France even, missing Pogba and Kante, etc. I think those sides have got better quality and more match winners in their ranks. But qualify from this group, I fancy Croatia, I think, will be one of the sides that will step out of this group.
To join Belgium.
Yeah, to join Belgium.
What about
I think
the
Canada will be game. African charge, yeah.
Morocco?
They've got talented players, Barry, but apart from Hakimi and, you know, one or two other individuals, do they have the world-class quality to win a tournament? Because tournaments have to be won.
Yes.
Tournaments have to be won.
You have to win matches.
You have to win matches.
And how you win matches, here's my deal, and I want to just talk about Africa in general. My deal is that African football hasn't progressed to a point whereby it's fast enough to compete against the rest of the world. Football has gotten almightily fast, almightily intense, and I don't think we've moved at the same pace as international football.
All right, let's go to our messages here briefly as we wrap up the show. And says, Zanzi, I think Spain, Iago Aspas or Gerard Moreno for Strike Force, Apple, Knowledge, Bafio. And that is so right.
That's all right.
Those two do have goals in them.
They do, and Iago Aspas is a very uncomfortable player to play against because he's got pace. He's busy.
Mm.
So very difficult for defenders.
Right, I guys wanted to ask if supporting Portugal is a good idea. Your thoughts, Barry?
In the
words of Pumlan Mseibe.
Yes.
Your thoughts.
Mate. Listen, if you love Portugal, support Portugal by all means. You should support the team that you want to support. But I don't see them making a dent on this tournament.
Let's go to Nkulumane. Kwabulawayo. Douglas Saurombe. Hello, my brothers. I tip Brazil to win the 2022 World Cup, and I foresee an African nation making it to the quarterfinals. Can we bury, you say, Africans been left behind as far as, you know, certain facets of the game are concerned? But do we have a side that's good enough to get to the quarterfinals?
We do. We did in Senegal. I think now if they can get Sadio Mane fit, absolutely fit, they got a good chance for a quarterfinal berth. Getting to the semis, I can't see any of our sides getting there. That'll be interesting. And if they had a better coach, Ghana would also be there or thereabouts.
All right, that's my best duo. It's Babatoni and Babatoni in Graceland Park. I'm so disappointed with Dynamos. Tundera Indirai is a great coach, and he loves Dimbala. They should have given him more time. And he goes to say, Andy, your fan Tony is not feeling well. Little Tony. Get well soon, Tony.
Get well, buddy.
Get well, buddy. We don't want you missing the opening match of the World Cup.
No, you won't. You will get out of that bed and rock and roll.
Absolutely. Well, can we squeeze in one more message?
Yes, we can.
And that message says, correction, France won't progress past the group stage. I am... Wow!
No,
I'm too shocked.
I don't see France progressing past the round of 16. I can't see it.
Wow.
I'll tell you why. France is imploding, not on the green grass. It's imploding with everything around it.
What is this mythical everything around it?
The whole Mbappe scenario, the whole... there's too much talk about off-field issues pertaining to France. And for me, I think that distracts focus and it's going to... Look at 2010.
But it's not that bad.
Yeah, 2010. That's why they didn't get out of the group. But this time, they will get out of the group at the round of 16, I think.
Wow, that's a brave call.
Exit the room.
Brave call.
They won't defend, that's for sure.
Joining Barry in making that brave call, get in touch with us on Twitter. Let's have this conversation. At ZFM Sport is the handle you need to follow. At Barry Menandi, at Mike Madoda, at Chris Midzi, at Gazaman14, Alois Munjira, and at Sean Tafirinyika. We'll be glad to talk Qatar 2022.
We'll catch you tomorrow for our full show. It's a full hour tomorrow and for the entire duration of the World Cup. So don't miss the Thursday. It is still Throwback Thursday, but the team will be here. May God richly bless you. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Menandi out.
It's Messi. It is the cleanest, the clean finishes from the best on the planet.
The biggest sports stories.
Chelsea, UEFA Champions League winners of 2021.
The biggest interviews.
That such a great spectacle is ruined by such thuggish behaviour.
And all the analysis. Right here.
He's the one player that has the arrogance to think that he can play in any stadium in the world and any pitch in the world in front of any player in the world and take them on.
Every weekday, it's my sport, it's your sport. It's ZFM Sport on ZFM Stereo. My station, your station.
Hi, this is Mike Madoda, and you can catch me and the team for all the latest breaking news out of the world of sport, local as well as international, on your favorite station, my station, your station, ZFM. We are the team on ZFM Sport.
ZFM.